Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parajakacharya, Hastadatta Satta Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Sri Raj Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Sisi ki shorki shori ki, Nittai gold and nataraj ki, Harinam sankirtan ki, gold prima nanti. Glories to the assembled devotees, glory to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we begin by reading from Sri Shikshamrita. This is the nectarian instructions from the letters of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. For continuation, back home, back to Godhead, this particular section. This thing is like an albatross, you know. It's called Ugra Karma. Like Rosemont Horizon here. Oh, God. Anyway, Vyasaki was saying he always wanted to be a rock and roll star. Then he came to Krishna consciousness. He says that on that latest conversations thing. Okay, so continuation from we're on back home, back to Godhead. This is 7212. This letter is to Tista Krishna, 14 December 1972. This is a long one. Your next question, after leaving this material realm, does the devotee remain forever with his spiritual master? The answer is yes. But I think you have gotten the mistaken idea in this connection. You speak of pure devotee, that he is Shaktivesh avatar, that we should obey him only. These things are the wrong idea. If anyone thinks like that, that a pure devotee should be obeyed no one else, that means he is nonsense. We advise everyone to address one another as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. So how the master should be obeyed? They others, they are also pure devotees. All my disciples are pure devotees. Anyone sincerely serving the spiritual master is a pure devotee. It may be Siddha Swarup or another Siddha Swarup. This must be very clearly stated. It is not only that your Siddha Swarup is a pure devotee, not others. Don't try to make a faction. Siddhasarupa is a good soul, but others should not be misled. Anyone who is surrendered to the spiritual master is a pure devotee. It doesn't matter if it's Siddhasarupa or non-Siddhasarupa. Amongst ourselves, one should respect others as Prabhu, master. As soon as we distinguish here as a pure devotee and here as a non-pure devotee, that means I am a nonsense. Why you only want to be in the spiritual sky with Siddhasarupa? Why not all? If Siddhasarupa can go, why not everyone? Siddhasarupa will go, you will go, Shamasundara will go, all others will not go. We have another ISKCON there? Of course, Mr. Nair must stay. Anybody don't know who Mr. Nair was? He's the man that sold the property, which is now the Bombay Temple, to the devotees. And his whole game was that he would sell the property to someone and make it very difficult program for paying the premiums. And then when they couldn't pay, he would take the property back. And then he would sell it to somebody else. And then he would keep making money by selling it to people and getting it back. So he tried that with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, you don't mess with the pure devotee, though. When he tried that with his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada, he got the ultimate. What was it? This is an interesting thing, because at one point, a fight was going on for the land. And Prabhupada was, dealing with Mr. Nair, really tooth and nail trying to get him to sell the land. So what happened finally, after the battle, he died. One time during the fight, he died. So the devotees came in and reported, Mr. Nair died. Prabhupada said, thank you very much. Thank Krishna. He said, I was praying to Krishna that Krishna would kill him. Prabhupada said that. He said, Lord Nishringadev killed him. He was such a demon. He was trying to cheat everybody. He was just a big cheater. He got the results of his activities. So Prabhupada said here, of course, Mr. Nair, he must stay. And if somebody does not go, then I shall have to come back to take him. One should remember this, and every one of my disciples should act in such a way that they may go with me, and I may not have to come back again to take another birth. This is to Dhananjaya, 31st December, 1972. I'm especially glad to know that everyone is feeling so much enthusiasm to work very hard in this Prishan mission. That enthusiasm must be maintained under all circumstances. That is our price for entering into Krishna's kingdom. Himaya has always tried to take away our enthusiasm to serve Krishna, because without enthusiasm, everything else is finished. So this is a very important statement made by Srila Prabhupada, that we always must remain enthusiastic. And you'll find that in your devotional service, there will be times where it'll be very difficult to maintain your enthusiasm. Very difficult. You'll even be in association with devotees who are enthusiastic, and still you'll find that your enthusiasm is low. One should never be overwhelmed by the moment. This is one thing we have to learn in devotional service. Don't get caught up in the moment. Tendency is sometimes the conditioned soul identifies the moment as the all in all. We feel lack of enthusiasm, we feel some pain, or we're feeling just Maya. And we just, our whole world just crashes in on the moment. We should never be overwhelmed by the moment, because things change from moment to moment. And then what is, one day you're despondent, you're in Maya, you're struggling, and the next day you're serving nicely, you're enthusiastic, and everybody looks like a pure devotee. So these things will be there as long as we are still on the mixed platform. So we should never be despondent in difficulties, and we should never be overjoyed beyond our needs, our service needs, in order to do our happiness. We should just continue on.
Krishna consciousness is like that. You want to serve Krishna? Nadana, what is that verse? Aslishya vapinaratam punastimam adarshanam mamahatam karotavai tatatata varavitatam tatam patam madhvanam nastu eva napara. That Krishna will neglect you, sometimes he will welcome you with red carpet, and sometimes he'll make you broken heart, and so many things. But these are all part of the purification. Always remain steady in your service. Always try to remain enthusiastic in your service. And always take shelter of the holy name. And you'll always be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So I'll read that one again. I'm especially glad to know that everyone is feeling so much enthusiasm to work very hard in this preaching mission. That enthusiasm must be maintained under all circumstances. That is our price for entering into Krishna's kingdom. And Maya is always trying to take away our enthusiasm to serve Krishna, because without enthusiasm, everything else is finished. This is to Ganesham, 16th February 1973. So who knows who Ganesham is? Anybody know that devotee? Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. His name before he became sannyas was Ganesham. Ganesham. Now you must agree to very rigidly follow the rules and regulations. That is, chanting 16 rounds of beads daily, rising early and attending Mangalarti, observing the four principles, attending the classes, eating only Bhagwat Prasadam, as well as working under the instructions of my representatives, such as your GBSA representative and temple presidents. And if you follow this procedure very strictly, then your life will be glorious and you'll go back home back to Godhead. This I guarantee. I hope this meets you in good health. To my dear son, Ganesham, 16th February 1973. Srila Prabhupada had a lot of personal affection for Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. It's very interesting. He's coming here soon. He's gotten a lot of mercy from Prabhupada. Prabhupada actually was in London just before he left in 1977. And he personally made the effort to thank him for his work in distributing books throughout the world and under the library party. Prabhupada was so happy that Prabhupada personally embraced him. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was crying and Prabhupada was embracing him. And he said, Krishna is bestowing a special mercy on you. So really, you can see what he's doing today, his preaching, he's enlivening. And so many persons who would never come to Krishna consciousness by his enthusiasm, by his dedication to Prabhupada, by his diversification of presenting Krishna consciousness in various ways, and by his compassion and love for the devotees. If you want to meet someone who is so sweet and so loving, that is Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He's always very kindly disposed to everyone, and he's always willing to give himself to the devotees, even at the expense of his own happiness, his own health. So it's fortunate he's coming here on the weekend for the Rath Yatra. He'll be here Saturday and then Sunday also, and then he'll leave on Monday morning. He's making a special visit because on Monday he's leaving for Europe, so we're just squeezing him in for 2 days. So we're actually quite lucky. Also, I just received notice from Prema Bhakti yesterday that Giriraj Maharaj is also coming on Sunday. He won't be here for Rath Yatra, but be here on the 13th Sunday. So there'll be a transcendental team here on Sunday. Giriraj Maharaj and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So get on your dancing shoes for Bhakti Tirtha, and get on your listening shoes for Giriraj Maharaj. Of course, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he also, when he preaches, he never stops. So we are fortunate because, as it says, one moment's association with a pure devotee, immediately you can attain the perfectional platform. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Hoy, Lava Mata, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Yes, Lava Mata is an interesting word. Lava means, I forgot, and Lava means 1/11th, and Mata means moment. 1/11th of a moment. So they say, sometimes we say 1 second, but it actually is 1/11th of a second worth of association with a pure devotee, and immediately you can be fully Krishna conscious. That's how powerful association of great souls are. So in our Krishna consciousness, we should always look forward and seek out the association of pure devotees. We serve them. We don't try to enjoy them. We try to serve them. And through our service, and then Krishna bestows their mercy upon us. So when they come, we always try to render service the best we can. And this is to Ravendra Gupta, 12th February 19th. Today is not my day. It's not my day today. Somehow or other, nothing's going right. Anyway, it's just like one of those days. You just keep going no matter what. I just want to apologize, so bear with me if you find this class somewhat sporadic. 12th February 1974. I know you have been attending our temple in Boston sometimes, and that you wish to be a sincere devotee of Krishna. So go on faithfully with your chanting and pray to Krishna to give you strength for advancing his service. It is a fact, however, that we must become free from all material desire before going back home to Godhead. And this can only be achieved by following the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master. So that's to somebody who is not a devotee. This is to Mr. Ghosh, 29th March, 1974. The whole world is Krishna's property. The whole world is a field of activities for the corrupt conditioned souls who desire to enjoy an imitation of the Supreme. For them, Krishna gives facilities for material enjoyment, but he wants the conditioned souls, after finishing their material enjoyment, to come back to him with bitter experience of material existence. So, when we get back home, back to Godhead, we'll have a bitter experience of this material world. It's interesting here that the first statement says the whole world is Krishna's property. It's interesting. There was one time Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and there was one industrialist, a big wealthy, this was in Bombay, this was an Indian gentleman, and they were walking together. So Prabhupada was talking about everything belongs to Krishna, and everything must be used in Krishna's service. And if anyone, is using, making some profit from Krishna's property, then they become implicated in the laws of material energy. So he's preaching like that. So this man, he caught up to Prabhupada, and he was saying, Swamiji, I'm always giving something to Krishna. So Prabhupada said, what is your occupation? And Prabhupada's man said, well, I'm a glass maker. I make glass. So Prabhupada said, what is glass made out of? He said, primarily it's made out of sand. So where's the sand coming from? The man said, it's coming from God, from Krishna. So Prabhupada said, well, you're a thief. So the man said, well, but Swamiji, I'm giving some donation to the Lord. So Prabhupada said, well, then you're only a little thief. And then the man noticeably dropped back in the walk, kind of like drifted to the back. Prabhupada knew how to deal with people, because people have a tendency to be proud. And when Prabhupada saw that pride, no matter how pious he may be, if he found some pride in a person, he would just look for an opportunity to kind of like knock it out. Like that. So it's very dangerous being in the association of the pure devotee, because what happens, your material desires are at risk. Especially our pride. This one is to Bhakta Lance, 16th December 1974. My simple request is that you remain in association of devotees and chant and continue to chant your 16 rounds daily and follow strictly the four regulative principles. and read our books daily with great care. In this way, your Krishna consciousness advancement will be assured, and at the end of this life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead, and live with Krishna eternally. Okay, so we'll stop there. Any questions? Comments? Yes? Everyone is a pure devotee? Oh, well, Prabhupada gave the understanding. When one is engaged in devotional service, you're automatically on the liberated platform. The devotional service is equal to or above liberation. Because devotional service has nothing to do with anything in this material world. So immediately, any soul who is engaged in devotional service is considered to be liberated. Now you may not know it, but you are. You may not feel it, but you are. So the idea is always stay fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then ultimately you become purified. And then you realize your position as being liberated. So the devotional service is on the liberated platform. Now, pure devotee has two different ways of being defined. One, there's one devotee, pure devotee, where one is completely freed from all material contamination, all material affection, all material desire. That is the kind of pure devotee we usually understand as definition. That kind of. But there's another pure devotee. That is one who is 100% fixed in Krishna consciousness. That they've surrendered to Krishna and they're willing to serve the Lord unconditionally. Now, they don't necessarily. They do not necessarily mean that they're freed from all material contamination. But they are 100% surrendered. That is also pure desire. I'm purely serving Krishna. But my heart may still be attracted to the things of this world. But they'll go fast as long as one remains fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. So that is also pure devotee. So you can become pure devotee in 1 second, as soon as you want it. And my dear Lord, right now, at this very moment, that I give my life to you. Whatever you do, whatever you want, I am your surrendered servant. When you do that, you're completely fixed in Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna takes over 100%. And then our consciousness is that we're always willing to be ready to serve. We're always willing to be ready to surrender. And we're always trying to find out how to please Krishna. That's all. We don't try to do things separate. When we try to do something separate, then we're outside of pure devotional service. Always remain under the shelter of the Lord. For all our needs, even if we have material needs, take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna will help you with those things also. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your ever well wisher. He's your eternal lover. Krishna is everything. For devotee, Krishna is everything. Lord Nityananda used to sing. What was that song he used to sing? Praising Lord Gauranga. Bhaj Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga. Laha Gauranga Nahamre Ye Janai Gauranga Bajehi Sehi Mora Prahare Baj Gauranga Sehi Mora Prahare. Vishnu Priya. Huh? Vishnu Priya. Yeah. Vishnu Priya, he sang that. Ye Janai. Okay. Lord Nityananda used to sing that. Chant the names of Gauranga. Worship Gauranga. What is the other one? One is chant the names of Gauranga. Worship Gauranga. Bhante Gauranga is worship Gauranga. Laho Gauranga. Kaho Gauranga. Or is he on Laha and Kaho? Yeah. Kaha Gauranga. Yeah. Kaha Gauranga. Chant the name. Worship Gauranga. Chant the name Gauranga. Laha Gauranga. Give your heart to Gauranga. Okay. The next one is 1975. So the last letter in 74 I finished. So it's 7505. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 22, Text Number 12 through 14. Number 12 is on the board. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Tasyatam Vasamanasya. Prarido Bhagavad Priya. Ajagama Kuru Shrestha. Rakapati Ivoditaha. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Tasyatam Vasamanasya. Prarido Bhagavad Priya. Ajagama Kuru Shrestha. Rakapati Ivoditaha. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Tasyatam Vasamanasya. Prarido Bhagavad Priya. Ajagama Kuru Shrestha. Rakapati Ivoditaha. That's Bhagavat, B-A-G-A-B-H-A-G-A-V-A-T. It's V-A-T. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sri Sukha Uvacha, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Tasya Bali Maharaj, Itam, in this way, Pashyamanasya, while describing his fortunate position, Parada, Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather, Bhagavad Priya, the most favored devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ajagama, appeared there, Kuru Shvesta, O best of the Kurus, Maharaj Prikshit, Rakatpati, the moon, Eva, like, Utitaha, having risen. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, while Bali Maharaj was describing his fortunate position in this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there, like the moon rising in the nighttime. Text 13. Tam Indrasena Swapita Mahasriya
Virajamanam Nilanaya Pekshanam Ramsum Pisangam Baram Arjana Twisam Pralamba Bahum Sugagar Sabam Akshita.
Translation. Then Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black ornaments from the eyes. His tall, elegant figure was dressed in yellow garments, and he had long arms. His beautiful eyes were like the lotus of a, petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. Text 14. Tasmai Bali Varuna Pasaya Trita Samarhana Nova Jahara Purvavad Nanama Murdhyana Sru Vilola Lokshanaha Sapridhani China Mukho Bahubaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respects to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears and his face lowered in shame. Purport. Since Bali Maharaj had been arrested by Lord Vamanadeva, he was certainly to be considered an offender. Bali Maharaj seriously felt that he was an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly, Prahlad Maharaj would not like this. Therefore, Bali Maharaj was ashamed and hung his head. Om Jnanti Virandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Dadatikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Maruna Dhyananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Prahlad Maharaj has appeared, and Bali is bound by the ropes of a Suki, of Varuna. And he, seeing his most glorious and illustrious pure devotee grandfather, who, as it's described here, was a most elegant personality, who was very, very pleasing and dear to everyone. A pure devotee of the Lord is all auspicious. Everything about a pure devotee is auspicious.
Everything he says, does, his appearance is very much attractive to everyone. In the prayers by the Srinivasa Acharya, he glorifies the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Dira Dira, that they were friends to both, they were liked by the ruffians and by the gentle. So a pure devotee is always dear to everyone. Why? Because he has no envy. He does not need or want anything from anyone. He simply wants to give to others. So his association is like coming in contact with a devotional desire trait. He's full of giving what is needed for everyone in the form of devotional service and the association of Krishna. So when Bali saw his grandfather appear, and he saw that he was in such a pitiable condition, being tied up because he had offended the Lord, or else at least he felt like he offended the Lord, then he was so ashamed that here is my pure devotee grandfather, and look at me, I'm tied up because I've offended the Lord, and he's so dear to the Lord. So you can imagine what he was feeling like. Just imagine that if someone who is very dear to you, who you worship and love very much, has become dear to someone else, and you've offended that person, so what is your feelings when you see that other person? You feel ashamed. So that was his feeling. He was actually feeling very ashamed, and he hung his head because he felt that he actually offended the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this was his state of consciousness. You know, Prabhupada sometimes explains that we should be embarrassed by our sinful life. And we should feel ashamed. He said, so ashamed and so remorseful that we could never possibly even think again of going back to sinful life. Because not only does it hurt us, but the Lord also feels hurt. So to even think of again going back to sense gratification is not the feeling of the one who really has some affection for the Lord. Because even if we're tempted by sense gratification, some, you know, Maya is there, and Maya is very strong. Maya may tempt us. But we should remember that if I do this, Prabhupada will be unhappy. If I do this, my spiritual master will be disappointed and very much unhappy. If I do this, Krishna will not be pleased. So sometimes we can look and say that, okay, I might be attracted to Maya, but if I do it, it will hurt so many other people who are dear to me. And that is more painful than the hurt that I will put on myself. So if we think like that, and that's really a feeling of a devotee, we may never be forced again to take up sinful life. That is just like when we take initiation. We vow no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no eating of meat, fish, or eggs, garlic, or onions. So, when we are tempted, maybe, to engage in one of these activities, we should think, hey, I promised my spiritual master I would not do these things. And to break my promise is not at all a gentleman, a gentle lady. So let me not do these things because it will cause disappointment. If someone gives you something and says, here's a gift, use it, and then you don't, and then you disappoint the person who gave it to you because there's a feeling of confidence, there's a feeling of trust, there's this feeling of responsibility. And it's the feeling of some affection that comes with that. So So when we look at Maya sometimes, or we're faced with Maya, Maya is strong. Never underestimate the power of Maya. One should never think they cannot be tempted by Maya. One should think that they're always in a position where they could be tempted by Maya. Maya is so strong that easily one can fall back and again take up sinful life. Maya is very strong. So in order to prevent us from being lured into that, we should think, hey, so many people have their faith in me. My spiritual master, my God brothers and God sisters, my family, everyone. If I do this, this will disappoint them. So in that way, we can remain somewhat free from the temptations of Maya. And that's a type of nobility. When people says, the Prabhupada says, when you make a promise, you know, nowadays when people make promises, they don't really consider their promises to be, or some vows. They don't consider their vows or promises to be so important. They consider them important, but if something else in their life that appears to be more important comes along, they may break their vows. Buddha Prabhupada said one should never make those vows. So we always have to be somewhat serious in our devotional service and never try to disappoint Krishna, the spiritual master, or those who are our associates and peers like that. And then we can always remain somewhat fixed in Krishna consciousness. So Bali Maharaj, he was ashamed that he did something. Actually, he didn't do anything wrong. He was not an offender. He didn't do anything wrong. But he felt he did. And the Lord actually punished him. And the Lord's punishment was actually his mercy upon Bali. But Bali took it that he offended the Lord. So ultimately, this is the consciousness of one who is fixed in some affection for Krishna. Just like sometimes you have some relationship with someone, and in that relationship you may do something, maybe accidentally or just inadvertently or just out of habit, and you may think, oh, maybe I offended my wife or husband or my friend by doing that. So you may feel somewhat apologetic. So sometimes we like that. That is quality of a civilized person. So Bali was civilized. Not only civilized, he had actually affection for the Lord. So when he saw his great-grandfather, his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, who was great, he thought he would not at all like my situation, so he hung his head in shame. The quality of a devotee also, he's very, very humble. He doesn't even, I mean, Bali was so powerful, he was able to capture the entire creation by his military prowess. But when it came to being in the presence of the Lord, he was very, very humble and very, very accommodating to the Lord's desires. So no matter how great you are, no matter how much you have achieved in your life, either materially or spiritually, one should always remain humble. Because humility is the quality that attracts the mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada said, even if you're an incarnation of the Lord, you still should remain humble. There's one tape, Prabhupada says that, even in incarnation, you still have to be humble. So this quality of humility attracts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, it is already 9:15, so perhaps we'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Prabhu I have to follow his instructions. Maharaj's instructions. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatyate Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasavi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So, now I understand when I was invited to come here on Balaram's appearance day, there was much more to it than I had seen or seen at that time. Was a chance again to associate in a very wonderful way with all the devotees and have the special association of my senior and dear godbrother, Giriraj Maharaj. Okay. To try to speak about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only an attempt in any shape, way, shape, or form. It's not possible to even come close in getting a fraction of a drop of the understanding of the glories of the Lord, especially from a tiny jiva soul like myself. But the process of spiritual life, the process of Krishna consciousness, is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So although we are not qualified in any way to glorify the Lord, still, by the Lord's mercy, he gives us a chance to make some attempt. And if there's any success in that endeavor, it's all by the mercy of the Lord. So, by the mercy of the Lord, and by the mercy of the devotees, and by the mercy of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, we'll try to say something about Lord Balaram. It is explained that Krishna is Govindam Adi Purusham, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Anadi Adi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the Adi Purush, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all emanations, all manifestations are ultimately coming from him. Ete Cham Sam Kalam Pum Sam. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all incarnations are either proportions or plenary portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. When Krishna expands, of course when we say when, that denotes that there is some time that it happens. But then of course, the expansions of the Lord are also eternal. So how can we understand when in terms of eternality? So again, to try to get a glimpse of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or try to speak on these subject matters, we have to accept the principle of achintya, that it's inconceivable. So when the Lord Krishna expands to his most immediate emanation or expansion was none different than himself as Lord Balaram. Sometimes we say that the only difference between Lord Sri Krishna and Lord Balaram is that Krishna has a transcendental complexion like a blackish rain cloud, and Lord Balaram has a transcendental complexion like a spring, white spring cloud. That's the only difference. So, in one sense, but there is a difference in relationship, that the whole spiritual philosophy, understanding, is based on developing a relationship of with service to the Supreme Lord. Instead, there is no better servant of the Lord than the Lord Himself. So the Lord expands for His own transcendental pleasure. And that immediate expansion is Lord Balaram. And Balaram plays the role of the best of all servants. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, none different than Lord Krishna, he serves Lord Krishna in various relationships. The entire spiritual world, including the planet of Goloka Vrindavan, is considered to be a manifestation of the energy of Lord Balaram. All the Vaikuntha planets are manifestations of the expansions and energy of Lord Balaram. So in that one sense, that Balaram is actually facilitating everything for the service of the Lord, although he is the Lord himself. He, of course, in his relationship with Krishna, when it manifests itself in the material world, when Krishna comes, Yidahidahi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhutanama Dharmasya Tridapanam Sajamyaham Pravitranayam Sarunam Vinasanaya Chaduskatam Dharma Samstapanartayam Sambhavam Yuge Yuge. Krishna comes to annihilate the miscreants. Whenever religious principles go down, he comes to reestablish those religious principles and to give pleasure to his devotees. These are the reasons why the Lord comes to the material world. So when he comes, he brings his entourage, his eternal associates, and Lord Balaram always comes with him in one form or another. And sometimes in multi-forms he comes. As His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was explaining in Srimad Bhagavatam class this morning, that we speak about the different leelas, or the incarnations of the Lord, as Lord Ramachandra. Lord Balaram came as Lakshman. In that case, it was his younger brother, Lakshman. In a more recent incarnation, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came as Lord Nityananda. Sometimes people mistakenly think that Lord Nityananda is an expansion of Lord Balaram or an emanation of Balaram. But actually, there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Nityananda. Same person, just two different forms, that's all. Sometimes we say Nityananda Balaram. So when the Lord comes to the material world, he displays his various activities and pastimes for the pleasure of the conditioned souls. And Lord Balaram assists him in every way in order to enhance his pleasure and to carry on the Leela in various manifestations and forms. Just to divert to a point for a second, I was thinking that Balaram mostly comes as Krishna's older brother, but in the pastime of Lord Ramachandra, it was his younger brother. And there was a problem in that Leela for Lakshman. If you remember the different stories in the Ramayana, Lakshman was asked to do things that he, by his own best judgment, he didn't think was the thing to do. When the story was, when Sita saw this deer, who was actually Ravana, Maricha, in the form of a deer sent by Ravana to divert Ram away from the protection of Sita, Lakshman realized that this is not one of the 8,400,000 species. something different. And of course the Leela is there, but he didn't want to at all leave the protection of Mother Sita. And he told Ram, this is just a demon. But Sita was so insistent and Ram was so obedient to his wife that he went. He was the perfect husband. Perfect husband. Husband means sometimes you have to be obedient to your wife in order to keep your wife happy. That's part of being a husband. The wife's not happy, the husband's not happy either. So, in order to please Mother Sita, he left and chased Lakshman. And then Lakshman was at that point was told by Ram to protect Sita, not to leave her under any condition. But Mother Sita, she was, when she heard that Ram was in trouble, when Maricha feigned the voice of Ram, she was concerned. She told Lakshman, please go help your brother, he's in trouble. Maricha called out in the voice of Ram that he needed help. So Lakshman understood that Ram doesn't never any need any help. So he can take care of himself. But Sita was so insistent that she actually insulted Lakshman by saying words that really pierced his heart, saying that, ha-ha, now you have revealed your real character. You're after me only. And simply you've been here all this time playing one role, but you're actually thinking in another way. So he became insulted by Mother Sita's words. And Lakshman never looked. It is explained that he never took his eyes above her ankles. He was so chaste in his relationship with his brother and his brother's wife, Sita. But yet he was insulted. So he went. And when he went, of course, Ravana came in the disguise of a sadhu and was able to take Mother Sita away. And then when, of course, Maricha was killed by Ram, and they came back, and Ram discovered that Sita was gone, he chastised Lakshman for leaving. So, this was one of many times he got chastised in that particular leader. So, Lakshman was thinking, never again will I come as younger brother. Because in culture and tradition, that one has to obey one's older brother. Younger brother must listen to older brother. So, from then on, we understand that he came as older brother. And it's explained that Lord Balaram, he is the only one who serves the Lord in all five rasas. He serves in the rasas of neutrality, as the Lord's clothes, as the Lord's bedstead, as the Lord's turban, his crown, as the Lord's slippers, and sometimes, in some cases, the Lord's jewelry also. That they are non-different than Lord Sri Balaram, the paraphernalia of the Lord. And just to expand on this one point, it's mentioned in one book by Mahanidhi Swami that when Krishna was prepared to come to the material world in his incarnation as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had to leave his flute behind. And the flute is always a constant association, associate of the Lord in his form as Lord Sri Krishna. But the flute was thinking, what, the Lord is leaving me? So he became very, very sad and brokenhearted. And the Lord understood. So he said, you can come. And so it is explained that the flute incarnated as the mridanga drum. And the mridanga drum is considered to be, in one sense, a manifestation of Lord Balaram. Because all the paraphernalia of the Lord is non-different than Balaram. So sometimes in the temple we think it's just a drum, but actually it's Krishna's special paraphernalia in order for Leela and for pastimes. In Dasya Ras, he takes the role as being the servant of the Lord in every respect, assisting the Lord in all his pastimes. In Sakya Ras, he becomes the friend of the Lord, and they play together, they run together, they have pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan together. And there he becomes the friend of the Lord. He becomes the friend of Lord Sri Krishna. He takes the role of Vatsalya Rasa as the older brother of the Lord. And sometimes he chastises the Lord or directs the Lord. Just like there was one story wherein Krishna ate dirt. And so cowherd boys headed by Balaram, they went to Mother Yasoda and said, Krishna ate dirt. So Mother Yasoda, she was very concerned that her little son was eating dirt. It's Not a very healthy foodstuff, dirt. Of course, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was eating dirt too. And that's another story. He was in the mood of explaining the philosophy that everything is one. And that the Mayavadi philosophy, it's all one. So what's the difference between sweetmeats and dirt? Mother's giving me sweetmeats, but sweetmeats, they come from the dirt anyway, so I might as well just eat dirt. No difference. It's all one, so it doesn't matter what you do. So, of course, Mother Sachi, she came in, and she said, if you eat dirt, you get sick, but if you eat sweetmeats, you get become very healthy. So she said, thank you very much, Mother.